Okay. Question. And as I said, I'm going to try and get to something else in 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah. Alex Eckleberry, I run Sunbelt Software, so I think makers of Counterspy. So my bias, I hope, is obvious. A couple of months ago, Dan from 180, one of your people contacted us, wanted to get delisted. That opened up a can of worms because in our research we discovered some additional things that we were very concerned about. And it's relevant to this discussion because, you know, as you know, as a result of that, we published an extensive white paper on 180's install practices, which you then later alleged were incorrect and asked us to remove, which we have removed pending our continued discussions, and we're going to meet in a couple weeks to discuss this. So this brings everybody up to speed on the Sunbelt 180 situation. But, you know, you're still listed in our database, but we're maintaining a dialogue. The thing about CDT and buying CDT, you've bought a distribution channel, but I think myself and a bunch of the other Spiral researchers here, people like Ben and Eric and Susie and a number of others, have had a problem with is that from a technology standpoint, you can fix some of the stealth installs that are happening today with your product. And that is through the CBC Force prompt, not to get everybody confused, but this is a value in the registry that you can set, and if it's set to 1, the person doesn't get a disclosure. If it's set to 0, the person does get a disclosure. What we're very concerned about is that the distributors, apparently, or 180 or somebody in the loop, has been setting this value to 1. So the person goes to the site, installs the software, gets the software through whatever mechanism, but there's never a disclosure, there's never a screen, there's never I agree to this, because the registry, the DWORD value is set to 1. If this is the case, I mean, I think, you know, rogue distributors are the oldest argument in the business. They go back to the old spam days. We're in the anti-spam business. It's an old argument. Programmatically handling that so that the distributor can't abuse the software, I think, is what a lot of us are trying to get our hands around. So that if you do have a rogue distributor, he can't get away with a stealth install. And stealth installs are occurring today with 180. We can show those. So I don't mean to attack you on this, but I think we all want the answer, and we've been discussing this.
Well, the answer is you're right in the sense that security needs to be one of the biggest focuses of this entire industry, and we're working hard to come up with ways. You know, we've met with most, if not all, of the anti-spyware vendors in the room and are working with ways to try to come up with the best practices to employ that. And there are people who would say that it's practically impossible to raise a level of security beyond simply active notice, right? In other words, there's passive notice where we sign a code of conduct with these people and say, we legally obligate you to give notice and consent. And beyond enforcement of that, there is our active attribution of trying to make sure that the person has consent. And the difference between the security that's bypassed to flip a registry key and the security bypass to, you know, catch a modal dialog box and hide it is, what I've been told from programmers, relatively close in terms of difficulty. And so we're trying to figure out exactly what those answers are. I mean, if there are companies out there who can give us what is reasonable for a consumer to actually then also install, that would give us that level of security, we would definitely put it in place. The challenge is, I think, is ultimately we're moving towards more of the controlled distribution within our site. And so a lot of the stuff we're moving to is where we've actually integrated our pages to look very much like a publisher's site. So a person goes to that site, is interacting with the content, and then the consent and distribution actually comes from our website, even though it's branded like theirs, and then they go back to that customer's site. That's one of the ways that we're working in terms of trying to do that.
So you're saying it's you're trying to work through the technology issue? Because, you know, frankly, I mean, we work with code all day. I mean, we can write you an installer that'll force this. This is not hard stuff, you know.
So
I mean,
you can write an uncrackable, an application that no other person
well,
can hack?
But you know, yes, no, yes? No.
Yes,
you
no.
Wrote an application. I mean, yeah. I don't want to get into a contest here, but you wrote an application that was completely crackable. I mean, it's a DWORD value in the registry that, you know, my 11-year-old kid, who's, you know, pretty good with computers, can go in and change in the registry. That is, I think, the issue. I mean, you know, we're talking a lot about commitment to change. We understand the past is the past. And I'm not sitting here, I'm not going to you know, just give you all this trouble about your own past practices. But if we're looking at that, I mean, there are ways to make this work that are far, far more robust and resilient than a D-word value. If this was a complex cryptological key or something and it was being hacked, I could blame the distributor. You know, to get his 25-cent paper download, he's doing this. And, you know, he's that money motivated and he's that crazy. But this was a really simple one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that okay. The registry was barely worth its time in terms of distribution, in terms of that level of protection. But it did move from a passive prompt to an active prompt, is what we were trying to do.
Okay.
We'll be implementing by mid-year a more sophisticated functionality. But like I said, but what I've been told, I mean, I won't name them, but I've met with somebody who knows this stuff, and they said, it doesn't matter what you do, and so a hacker will find it. So what we're trying to figure out is these nets, so sort of the stuff that Direct Revenue was talking about, ways to monitor the internet as a whole and the partnership sites that you're working with to find them. Because like I said, the hard part that we have is that the good guys and the bad guys come to our door and they look the same. And we turn down about 7 out of every 10 partnerships that we talk to because they're not willing to sign our code of conduct. But they can look pretty convincingly in terms of the sites and stuff that they give us. So we're trying to find that combination of policing and technical implementation that will eliminate the ongoing, you know, excuse to your extent. But we take responsibility for that. We're not saying that we're not responsible for those third parties, as we absolutely are. I think there was a time in the industry 2 or 3 years ago when it wasn't evident that there were people out there trying to break the system, that everything was sort of straight up, and then there's created a cottage industry given the amount of money that all the folks here have poured into it that have created these guys who, you know, create those elaborate schemes, and we are trying to police them very seriously. So,
there's a piece of this that, I mean, you're talking about some of the silent installs and picking at the holes, but I mean the distributors themselves, the people that you work directly with, some of them have had a problem. And I mean, CDT is the perfect, Loud Marketing is the perfect example. I mean, they registered their name, and now I guess you guys are registered as Click Yes to Continue in Canada. And the purpose for that was so that they could put up an ActiveX box that says Click Yes to Continue, and people think that they have to do it. That is deceptive. That's a deceptive practice. And you guys now own that. We're working with them for at least 2 years before then.
Right, and I don't think they distributed us with that.
Yes, they did.
With that consent.
Yeah, I have a video of them doing it.
Yeah, I've got that too.